Hello, everyone, and welcome to the call. This is Deanna Mayo from Delegated to Done, your delegation and management strategist, and welcome to How to Hire and Work with a Virtual Assistant. I am absolutely thrilled to be here with you today, to have each of you here to learn my proven steps, the strategy, the exact thing I do whenever I need to add another member to my team. And today, this is for you, whether you're starting from scratch, it's just you and your business, or if you already have some help and it's time for you to grow it even bigger. If you're here and you'd like to say hi, I'd sure love to hear from you. You can type into the Ask a Question box on our virtual event page to let me know you're here, say hello, and maybe let me know what it is you'd like to get out of our training together today. If you're on the phone line, you can do the same by raising your virtual hand by pressing star 2 on your telephone keypad. And if you're here listening to the recording, a big, big welcome to you as well. I'm really, really excited that you're here. You know, this training came from all of you telling me what your challenges were, the questions you had, and how could you hire and work with a VA more successfully. I have heard horror stories about trying to hire someone and not being able to find what you were looking for. I've heard stories about people finding someone and then it doesn't turn out so good. And so today is the day that we change that for you forever. Isn't that exciting? Well, welcome to all of you for being here. We are recording today's session, so whether you're listening live and you want to come back to it later, or you're listening to the recording, you've got lifetime access to the recording, to a transcript, which we're going to have made for you as well. And if you were lucky enough to enroll and we were offering some juicy bonuses, we've got some tools for you. We'll also see that you get a hard copy or soft copy of the slides. You can use that to take notes if you like as well. So I'm going to suggest we go ahead and get started. If you are multitasking right now, shame, shame, stop that. You want to get as much out of our time together today, please try to give the training your full attention. Take notes. Be present with me. Give your business the gift of being here. And I promise you, you'll get so much more out of it if you do that. Let's cover our agenda for today just briefly. We're going to talk about what a VA is and what it isn't, define why you need a VA and what type to hire, finding the perfect VA for you, how to set up perfect communication, including some resource recommendations, how to avoid the mistakes that brand you as a total management newbie, and how to be the perfect client for your VA. I do want to just start by congratulating you for deciding to take that all-important first step to outsourcing, and there is no better place to start than hiring and working with a virtual assistant. You know, outsourcing part of your business to a VA is like any other business function. There is a wrong way and a right way, and doing it the right or better way ensures not only that you'll be thrilled with the results, with the stress taken off your shoulder, that your VA will find it equally rewarding both financially and emotionally. If you use a VA in an ongoing relationship, you will both become a better team that's greater than the sum of its two parts, a veritable business powerhouse. So let's jump in, shall we? Let's get things started. We're going to start with what exactly is a virtual assistant and what isn't it? So a virtual assistant is an independent service provider with a highly specialized skill or areas of expertise. You don't employ her, per se. You hire her as a freelancer. So one big advantage is that you don't have to worry about observing federal laws that require, that apply to regular employees. You don't need to pay her for statutory holidays, benefits, vacation time, or deduct payroll expenses. She does all that herself. Now, the best virtual assistants specialize. They become strong in a specific area, even if that area is general office administration. So you may end up, over time, with more than one VA on your team, like I have. In fact, you should plan to expand your VA or outsource contractor contingent over the next 5 years. Now, you can hire virtual assistants who specialize in things like shopping cart setup and maintenance, autoresponder setup and maintenance, content marketing and management, web design and maintenance, WordPress setup and maintenance, podcasting creation and setup, video creation and distribution, webinar creation and setup, administrative support, bookkeeping. In fact, you can find a VA for just about every type of support you can think of, though the most common types of support offered and called for are administrative support or technical support and marketing support. Now, virtual assistants often specialize in serving a particular field or industry as well with a specialized skill set that applies only to that area. So some examples of that might be real estate, medical or wellness, coaching, marketing, public speaking, events, or audiovisual production. Just assume that your virtual assistant is going to have other clients. And as an independent contractor without the security of an employment contract, she's going to make sure that she doesn't keep all of her eggs in one basket, yours. Another thing that's important to note is that she may use a team of virtual assistants herself. Now, you can ask whether or not she will be handling your projects personally. You can also trust that if she assigns it to a team member, the team member will be a hand-picked specialist able to do as good of a job as your chosen VA, or better in some cases, for your particular project. Just make sure you ask so you can have an accurate expectation. Second thing we're going to talk about here in step one is booking and paying your virtual assistant. Now, VAs work either by a package rate, hourly, monthly, or by a project. Now, it's important to specify which type of arrangement you wish to make, or check and find out how your chosen virtual assistant prefers to handle billing. She'll let you know all of this either on her website or at the appropriate moment during your contact with her. Now, since VAs do have other clients, you may wish to reserve a block of your chosen VA's time on a regular monthly basis. That way, you won't run the risk of finding out she's completely booked the next time you want to work with her. Expect to pay on completion of a project if you do project work or otherwise prearranged schedule. Some VAs will invoice you monthly, but others will demand either the full monthly amount or a retainer upfront. It's really their prerogative to do so, but unless a VA has a sterling reputation and is in hot demand, try to start out by hiring her for a small project or small block of hours first, to make sure that you both work well together and to determine if she's really reliable or not. She can specify how she prefers to take payments. Common methods include credit card, PayPal, or an electronic check. Invoicing is relatively rare unless you both work locally in the same geographic area, so expect to be submitting your payment via some sort of digital method. All right, so we're going to take a quick little break here. I'm just going to check in and see if there are any questions. If you have a question about anything we've covered so far, at any point you can use the Ask a Question box or just a comment. You don't actually have to use the question box for a question. And I do see we have a comment already here from Melissa. Melissa, hi. She says, hi, Deanna. Really looking forward to learning from you. Thanks. Well, you're very welcome, Melissa. I'm glad to have you here. It looks like you're here joining us today from Toronto, so welcome. I'm so glad that you're here. And with that, I think we just move right on into step two, shall we? All right. So now that we know a little bit about what a VA is, let's talk about why you might need one and what type of hire. This is a common question that I get. Matter of fact, I get it just about once a week. How do I know if I'm ready? Well, you don't just hire a virtual assistant because everyone's telling you it'll save your time. You want to know specifically, what do you want her to do? What is your immediate goal in hiring her? Whether or not hiring her will be cost-effective, right? Like, will you make more money by delegating a specific task to her than trying to do it yourself? And your long-term goal. in hiring her. How does this fit into your marketing and operations plan? Now, this means you need to sit down, go over your business plan, and analyze where you're losing money. You lose money every time you have to perform a task that doesn't directly bring in income. So let's just say, for example, you're a graphic designer. You are not directly making money when you write articles and upload them to your blog. You are also not directly making money when you spend an afternoon tearing your hair out trying to figure out why your social feed plugin doesn't work properly in WordPress. You make money in this example directly when you design graphics, period. Now, many of you are thinking right now, but I don't have a business plan. That's okay. I'm not talking about some sort of fancy document that you use to get funding from a bank or investors. I'm talking about where you've written out your goals, what it is you want to achieve, and how it is you're going to achieve that. If you don't have that, we definitely should talk. I'm going to be sharing a little bit later how you can schedule some time with me so we can discuss that, because that's something you really need to know. And it's not just something you need to know in your head. This is a bonus tip and not something I plan on covering today, but if you don't know the answers to those questions, you need to have it written down. Because as you look to grow your business, you're going to want to communicate that with the people that are helping you support your business, namely this virtual assistant. And it's a whole lot easier to do it when you have it in a written format. Plus, it gives you a roadmap or a guideline to work from. Now, I walk my clients, my VIP clients, my platinum clients, and our delegated to Done Formula members through this process in step one of our signature system on creating that high performance plan. And if you don't have that in place, that's certainly a resource that we can talk about you taking advantage of, because I would sure love to help you with that. But you can absolutely just start by writing these things down. So schedule some time on your calendar, get a cup of tea, coffee, wine, whatever it takes, and start to get really clear about what do you want her to do for you? What will the goal be? Now, the idea here is that you want working with your virtual assistant to be a moneymaker for you. It needs to save you time, and ideally it's going to save and or make you money, or, hey, even better, all three. So let's talk about how we calculate the return on investment for hiring a virtual assistant. I mean, would it be nice to know before you actually commit to working with this person that it's going to make you money or save you money? Heck yeah. I love free stuff. But not everything in the world is free. So if I'm going to spend money, I want to make sure that I get the most value for it, especially with something where I might be committing to overhead over the course of a period of time. You know, I have members of my team. Right now, I have several members that I pay on a monthly basis. Certainly, I could cancel working with them at any time with a 30-day notice, because that's what we've agreed on, but that's not within my plans right now. So I want to make sure that I'm getting the most bang for my buck. So how do we go about doing that? Well, first thing you need to do is figure out how much you make per hour. Now, I don't necessarily mean how much you bill per hour, but if you do bill per hour, that will work. If not, you can look at the packages that you offer, how much time you spend delivering that package, and figure out what that equals in an hour. Don't forget to fold in things like email support time, things that you do for the client beyond just talking to them on the phone if you're a virtual provider. Or if you meet with them in person, don't forget to calculate in things like drive time. Now, granted, you're probably not going to bill your client the same hourly rate as you would for drive time as you would for time with you, but that time is still worth something, and you want to make sure to know that. Next thing you want to do in this formula is figure out how much you would have to pay a VA. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about compensation a bit later, but for now, as you're going through this process, you can just sort of assume that you're going to be paying somewhere between $5 and $25 an hour for a virtual assistant. And, you know, that amount is going to depend on how many hours per month you're booking them, how long they've been in business, how specialized their skill set is, are they within your country of origin, are they overseas, etc. I think for a good round number for this calculation, I'd figure $20 an hour. Then calculate how much time you lose dealing with problems. So in our example of the graph designer, we have figured out that we are making money when we are doing our graphic work. So, in this example, we know that as a graphic designer, we're not directly making money when we write articles and upload them to our blog. So figure out how much time you spend dealing with tasks like that. And if you're not sure yet how you would utilize a virtual assistant, boy, do I have an exercise for you. If you were lucky enough to get the bonus, what do I outsource exercise, this is the perfect example of figuring out what are the things that you could be delegating to someone else on your team so you can free up your time to spend on the things that only you can do. So just make a basic guess. How much time do you think you lose dealing with these problems? Then compare the results. Figure out whether or not you would make more money, regulating the blog yourself or having a special CA do the same for you. The other thing that we don't necessarily think about is that the time we spend on something may generally be more than how long it would take a virtual assistant. So let's say it takes us 3 hours a month to deal with our blog because we're not so fast at it, and maybe we get distracted and any number of other things, right? A virtual assistant, it might only take them 2 hours, and you're paying them less than what you're generally worth. So that's something to keep in mind. If your return on investment, or ROI, would be greater if you were to hand the hated non-money-making tasks over to a VA, check your budget and do it. So let's move on to step number 3 in our system, finding the perfect virtual assistant. There are multitudes of VAs available for hire through the internet. Your next step in success is narrowing your choices down to that perfect VA for you. Now, at this point, you should have made a list of the tasks you need your VA to perform. And you can narrow it down even further, or you can simply type keywords into Google and see what comes up. Including your city name will result, this little bonus step, in immediate results featuring virtual assistants rather than more generic results. And, there is an advantage to hiring a local assistant that you can occasionally meet face-to-face for relationship building functions like Christmas lunch or a business meeting, etc. Full disclosure, none of my team members live locally. Actually, of my current team, I haven't met any of them face-to-face at all. So it's not a requirement. But if this is something that you feel like would help you to ease into working with a virtual assistant, working with someone who's local, certainly is an option. And the most effective and reliable ways to find the perfect virtual assistant consists of starting with virtual assistants you know and acting on word-of-mouth recommendations from others. And that includes me. I'm going to have a resource for you a little bit later as a bonus for a reputable company that I work with. So you'll have my recommendation for a resource. They're not going to be right for everyone, but they might be right for you. Now, as an online entrepreneur, your circle of friends, Facebook group members, Twitter followers, LinkedIn group members will most likely include several virtual assistants. So why not start there? Check out their profiles on those sites and their website. And these are the things you want to look for. What does she specialize in? Does she have package rates? Is her website professional looking? Does she have any of her own products to sell? If one of your potential candidates ticks all or most of those boxes there, contact her and ask her if she has any time available. Now, the key to doing that is to be very specific but brief. Give her just enough information to know approximately how much time per month you need or short range, what type of project or task you're looking to have her work on, whether or not you want regular, recurring monthly service, or is this a one-off project? Don't overwhelm your prospective virtual assistant with a bunch of details. Your description shouldn't be any longer than a couple of sentences. save the details for her response and keep your responses focused. And ask your business peers for recommendations. Just give the type of task you want performed, and then also look for their recommendation on their website if you've already checked that out. Now, you might come up dry with that approach. You have two more options to consider. The first is using a reputable VA agency. You can search for virtual assistants in online directories, but make sure of two things first. The directory has a good reputation, and the directory deals only with virtual assistant services. Now, how do you check a reputation? Well, I've got a resource for you. The easiest way to run is to run the directory's name through the XMarks website. That's xmarks.com. Just enter the name of the directory, and XMarks will give other recommendations. The best part, they will suggest similar companies to check out. Some specific directories you can check out are vanetworking.com, canadianvirtualassistant.com, Elance, Guru, and I also like Odesk. Odesk and Elance are owned by the same company now, so that's something that you can check out. And if you are based in the U.S. and you use a Canadian virtual assistant directory, do make sure that you're checking out the prices in U.S. dollars, or that you're doing a bit of a calculation to see what that would mean for you based on the exchange rate. Now, there's also another option, and this is a great option for those of you that are just getting started with Team and you feel like you don't have a big budget to work with. I highly recommend, advocate for, and adore Fiverr. If you just need a one-off project done, or you want to just really try out a VA with a low cost, no risk, you might consider checking the current listings on Fiverr.com. Fiverr has boosted its own reputation by providing consumers with ratings and reviews for each gig seller or assistant, along with information such as the average time it takes for turnaround, how many gigs they've completed, and how many are in their current queue. You can search using keywords like virtual assistant, or look in the virtual assistant category. And profiles of sellers will give you information such as the services they specialize in. Now, what you're looking for on Fiverr is value. And we don't mean that in the traditional sense of the word. Look for VAs who offer tasks roughly appropriate for the price tag, which can be as little as $5. In other words, if someone offers to write a 20-page report for $5, pass. Either there's something a little shady there, or they're inexperienced and don't know how to get the best value for their own time. If someone offers to format the index page of a Kindle book for $5, however, then they're maximizing their unique skill set to quickly do a task that the average business owner would likely spend hours being frustrated over. That is commensurate value. And if they also send you a handy one-page template for $5 or let you download a video demonstrating something simple, that is an appropriate and shrewd use of their time because it's leveraged. They create the product only once, and so they can afford to distribute it at a lower cost. What you're looking for is a VA who is using Fiverr to gain exposure or to repurpose existing products, one who is offering you a taste of her experience, so you'll invest in higher-priced gigs, which top-ranking sellers are allowed to offer. So once you've compiled a list, whether it's from Fiverr, whether it's from a VA directory, or from recommendations, you're going to interview your candidate. Now, you can do this by email, by phone, by Skype, or any combination of the above. Simply put, you're going to check to see, does she intimidate you? Does she need too much direction? Are her clients at or above your profit level, expertise? Ask yourself, does she ask questions and provide references? Does she talk mostly about herself? If she answers yes to any of the questions here, she may not be a good fit for you. But keep it objective when interviewing VAs. Don't hire strictly on your emotions. someone you feel like is a kindred spirit emotionally may share your same weaknesses. So instead, check to make sure her business size roughly matches yours. That way you can find someone who's at or around the same level of growth isn't going to give you the impression that you're less or more important than you should be. Is she balanced between listening carefully and showing expertise? Or is she just talking all about herself and trying to convince you she's awesome? Do you feel comfortable with her? Do her skills fill in your weaknesses or areas of opportunity? Does she have the skill set you need? And always, always, always check references. Always. It bears repeating. Always. Okay. So we're going to take a quick little break here. Check in and see what questions have popped up for you so far. If you have a question or a comment about anything we've covered in the first three steps or anything else for that matter, just let me know. You can type your question into the Ask Question box on the webcast screen, or if you're on the line live, you can hit *2 on your telephone keypad to let me know you've got a question or a comment. I'm going to mute myself for just 1 second while we're waiting for those to come in, and I'll be right back with you. Okay, I'm back. Looks like everybody's doing pretty great so far, so we're going to keep moving forward with *4 in our proven system on how to hire and work with a virtual assistant. So now you have found the right person. It's time to start setting up perfect communication, really setting up the relationship so it works well for both of you. I cannot stress enough, besides checking references, that you want to have some sort of project management software in place if you really want to eliminate missed emails and confusion. This is the one central place online where both you and your virtual assistant go to upload, view, check, and download various project components. Good project management software, such as Teamwork.com, is the best way to start, particularly if you're planning to use more than one freelance team member for your project at any point in the growth of your business. The best part about Teamwork is there's a free version, and you can manage two projects for free forever with unlimited users and unlimited contractors. And over time, if you want to grow it bigger, their basic $12 package, you get 5 projects, a gigabyte of storage, the ability to work with unlimited clients and contractors, real-time timeline of what's happening in projects, and templates you can use for recurring projects. And at a higher price point, you can even integrate Dropbox, Google Drive, and get your own custom domain. Now, there can be a learning curve with anything like this, but many people find Teamwork much easier to use and start up with than another, similar system like a Basecamp. And even better, you can start by finding a VA who can set up and customize Teamwork for you. No matter what project management software you use or don't use, make sure you follow these steps for clear, effective communication. First, use a contract. This will either be one you draw up or one your VA provides. Starting out with expectations and duties laid out in a contract form eliminates wrong assumptions, skewed expectations, and gives you a handy reference point if something comes up under dispute or you have some sort of misunderstanding. Like, oh yeah, she did specifically say she charges time and a half for weekend work. We don't want anything to be assumed. We want it all spelled out. Second tip here is to decide on a preferred communication method. There's no right or wrong way here. But if you have some sort of phonophobia, yes, that is the official term for fear of telephone, and she'll only do business by telephone, then she's not the right VA for you. So clarify upfront what methods you'll use, when, and how often. For example, You'll check in with each other by email on Mondays and Thursdays before 10 a.m. For unexpected curveballs or on a weekend, you'll communicate by text message, requesting a phone call. Whatever it is that's going to work best for you. And remember, even if you both live at opposite ends of the world, you can still attend virtual meetings with Skype or Google Hangout or some sort of other tool. The key here is you're the one holding the card. You are the boss. So what method is going to work for you is the one you want to request. And then you can compromise here and there. I mean, you don't want someone to be available 24/7. That's not appropriate unless you're hiring a W-2 employee and you're kind of a slave driver. But make sure that what you want is going to work for them. And there's actually, this just happened with one of my private clients the other day. She was implementing Teamwork.com, that project management system that we recommend here at Delegate It's Done and use ourselves with her team. And one of her team members, as she was, you know, sort of rolling it out by email, letting them know how the system was going to be helpful for them and make things easier, came back and basically said, I like to get things by email. I'm not going to use it. Without looking at it, without trying to compromise in any way. And my client came back to me, and she said, well, she said she's not going to use it. And I said, just like that? What does that say to you? Does this person value working with you or not? Is she even willing to see if maybe the system can do for her what she wants it to do for her while giving you what you need to? I mean, is this person a collaborative partner? Do they care about the growth of your business and how you like to work since you're the one paying the money? I got on a bit of a soapbox about it. But believe me, there are thousands of virtual professionals that would have been glad to work with my client through Teamwork. This other woman didn't. My recommendation was to have a conversation with her and stress how this is going to help, as the business grows and help the client, my client, to be more organized and to be a better manager. And I don't know yet exactly what's happened, but I have a pretty good sense after having worked with people on how to manage others over the last 15 years what's going to happen. And I think it's that person's really not the right fit for our team. And this is the way that she found out. So it's very important that you decide on a preferred communication method and ask for that. The third thing when it comes to communicating effectively sort of dovetails onto that, and that's deciding on a delivery protocol. So you don't want projects or components being delivered, you know, via email, Facebook, Teamwork PM all at once. Decide on how work is going to be delivered. Do you want it by email? Do you want it in your Teamwork PM system? Do you want it through Facebook? Do you want it, you know, if it's a specific kind of task, do you want it mailed? Whatever is going to work best for you. If you're using Teamwork or some sort of similar system like Basecamp, Asana, whatever it might be, I recommend you have all the work and all the communication go through that system. It makes things a lot easier for you when you want to find something later. And then lastly, decide on any other parameters. For example, how many revisions will she do? If she's writing content, how many optional hours of overtime will she offer per month, etc. The more details you get ironed out in your initial meeting and in that contract, the less room there will be for error and assumption. And you'll both know what to expect from each other. Now, it's inevitable, however, that neither of you will think of everything. So give it time for your relationship with your virtual assistant to settle into a groove. Keep things respectful and direct, and you can look forward to a strong, enjoyable working relationship together. Okie doke. We're coming into the home stretch, ladies and gents. Let's talk about how to avoid the mistakes that brand you as a total newbie to help you not feel confident in being a great manager of your VA. So remember how in the beginning I talked about there's a right way and a wrong way to hire a VA? Well, we've gone through the right ways. So let's just spend a little bit of time on the wrong way. I want to share with you 7 mistakes that commonly happen, especially for new work-at-home business owners or those that are new and attempting to hire their first virtual assistant. The first one is expecting your VA to think for you. Some business owners hire a virtual assistant expecting her to take over the running of the business. And That is not possible to do if it's not properly set up. Now, while a VA can certainly help you set up your business, you need to know what areas you need set up, what tasks you want her to do, how many hours you expect it to take, what you're going to do. A VA is not like one of those parents who take over a difficult homework task and just do it for you instead of having the kid do it. She expects you to know your own business and have a basic business competency. Now, she's going to provide you support in all the areas you need, providing you specify what those are, and she specializes in those areas. But she will not make business decisions for you and take over your business while you abdicate all your responsibility. If that's what you're looking for, it's time for you either to find a business partner who's also going to help strategize with you or to get out and sell. That is not what running a business is, handing it all over to someone else. Second mistake we see people make is expecting your VA to be your coach or strategist or instructor. Now, while some VAs do provide the equivalent of business mentoring or strategizing or coaching, most of them do not. She's advertising herself as a support person, as an implementation strategist, not a coach. If your relationship includes a little of this in specific areas, you're really lucky. But she's not there to teach you how to run your business, how to make decisions. She's there to help you take the vision that you've set forward, the strategy you want to use, and to implement it. VAs, like I said, in most cases, are support and implementation. They get it done. They don't decide what needs to get done. So here's an example of this. Just recently, someone was telling me they wanted a virtual assistant to help them with search engine optimization. And during the interview process, they asked me if I thought that, you know, that was a reasonable request for a virtual assistant. I said, well, certainly some virtual assistants specialize in SEO. She said, well, I think during the interview I'm going to ask what would she recommend we do to get traffic to my website. And I spent some time clarifying this question with my client because what we should do could mean strategy, but it could also mean implementation. I said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, what kind of strategies should we use? Should we do article marketing? Should we do Facebook? Should we do? I said, that is not necessarily the question to ask this person. What you want to come to that meeting with is, we're going to do article marketing, on-page, and backlink work. Can you help me implement those? That's the question for the VA. Not what should we do, but do you know how to go about doing it? All right. Third mistake is not defining clear goals, tasks, or responsibilities. Not knowing specifically what you need your VA to do is a surefire way to both brand yourself as inexperienced and unprofessional, but it can also have you racking up really huge bills with your VA if a VA takes pity on you and wades in to clean up your mess. So you need to know what type of VA you need, like what kind of specialty she has, what tasks you need her to do, whether or not it's going to make you more money in the end if she does these tasks for you, and approximately how many hours you expect each task to take. If you don't know how long it should take, you can ask her how long do you think it will take and ask her to stop working after that period of time, or you can set an initial check-in point and say, work on this for 2 hours and then share with me what you have. You should discuss your expectations with her when laying out the project, so she can advise you if she thinks your estimations are not on target in any way. That way, you can easily adjust your budget and expectations before ever starting the project. You can cut out a task or decide to perform it yourself. She will also tell you if she needs more lead time, like time to prepare and set up the project or task, and if this is something that we need to adjust for as well. You need to be prepared with your part of the planning, so she can help you plan perfectly. All right, I'm going to take a pause for just a second. Check in to see what questions or comments may have come in on the webcast chat or by phone. If you have learned something or found something valuable so far, this would be a time to let me know. Type it in there. Share with me so I can see how the training's impacting you. So while we're waiting for those to come in, I'm going to mute myself for just a second. Okay, so let's see what we've got here so far. We are through four, three of our mistakes in our seven. So let's move forward, shall we? Mistake number four is expecting your VA to read your mind. Now, I kind of alluded to this already, but I want to make sure to specifically state it. This is closely related to all of the points 1, 2, and 3 above, but it bears having its own point because it happens so often that I wanted to make sure to really point it out. This is kind of part of the expecting mom to do it for you example that we talked about, like the homework. Even if you're not doing that, one of the worst things you can do to a VA is change parameters on a project halfway through and expect her to magically know about the changes. But clients do it all the time. Detail out for her exactly what you want the end result to look like. Don't leave it up to her to guess. I've taken the mind reading class and I've failed it every single time, and I bet your VA has too. None of us can do it, and we don't like it when it's done to us. So don't turn the tables and do it to your VA. Mistake number five is expecting your VA to be on call 24/7. Now, your VA mostly works online for the same reasons you do. The chance to watch your children grow up, to have flexibility, the freedom to adjust your hours or need a workaround for a specific situation, the chance to eat and sleep and rest and play, and any client expecting her to be on call 24 hours a day either hasn't thought things through or has a bit of an ego problem. So, most VAs will specify their hours, but if an emergency happens and you do need your VA to go above and beyond, expect to pay more and don't expect her to say yes. Now, if you've built a strong working relationship with your VA, she may bend her own rules or oblige in a disaster, but not if the extra hours start to become a regular thing. You can ask for extra time. You can ask for outside of general business hours support, but don't expect it and don't abuse it. Now, if you have a role that requires that, make sure you state that in the beginning, just as we said in the prior steps. All right, mistake number six. Ooh, this is a juicy one. This happens a lot. Expecting your VA to be a project manager. Now, while many VAs are more than capable of fulfilling this function, don't ever do this to them unless they advertise project management as a part of their skill set or as their primary specialty, and you should definitely expect to pay more for this skill set. If you want to just say, I want to launch an event in 3 months, and have her take that, create a plan from it, and manage other people to getting the work done, that is a project manager or an online business manager role, and you should not expect a VA to do that for you. If that's what you're looking for, it's out there. You can get them, and they're fantastic to have. But generally, until you're at a larger place, you're going to be that role in your business. You can't just assign work or create a project plan and expect it to get done if you're not looking at it on a regular basis. And that's why you want to have a tool like Teamwork set up, either for you, or if you hire a VA that can be a project manager so they can see what's going on across the entire business. All right, item number seven, our last mistake to avoid. Don't expect your VA to perform tasks she doesn't specialize in. Don't expect your VA to do your bookkeeping or your web design or your shopping cart setup if she hasn't included these skills in her advertised areas of expertise. Now, even if you wheedle her into taking on an unfamiliar task, pretty much a no-win situation for you because you're going to be paying for her learning curve as well as for the task. Now, if this is something you both want, you want this addition to her skill set, and you can afford to invest in her training time, that's fine. But never expect her to perform an unfamiliar task unless it is under those conditions where you're paying for the training. Now, some VAs will say, yes, I would love the opportunity to learn how to do that, and they will be willing to negotiate a deal with you where maybe you only pay for part of the training time or where you reduce their rate for that work for a period of time until they're up to 100% competency. That's something you can discuss with them. But don't just expect her to know what to do. And VAs generally specialize in certain areas. And someone who is skilled at content rewriting or content editing may not be the best person to do your books and vice versa. Just like in a brick-and-mortar business, you wouldn't expect the accounts payable person to be the receptionist, and you wouldn't expect the receptionist to be an awesome widget maker on a manufacturing line. It doesn't work like that. Okay, we are moving into the home stretch. Number six. We've got a comment here from Melissa on the webcast chat I want to share. She says, lots has been helpful, Deanna. Very timely for me. Learning about teamwork is great. I have to sign off now, but we'll definitely be listening to the whole recording. Thanks, and have a great weekend. Well, you're very welcome, Melissa. And we are going to have a special goodie for those of you that are interested in signing up with Teamwork. Even though it's free, I still got a little juicy bonus for you because I love to give goodies. All right. So how to be a perfect client. Here we go. Be available. You know, putting yourself in the other person's shoes and understanding how she works goes a long way to ensuring you'll be her favorite client. But you can up your game a little bit more by being available. Now, just like your VA, you don't want to be available 24/7, and I certainly don't mean that. But don't disappear on your VA either. If you're off for time in the summer or you want to cut down your working hours while maintaining and increasing hers, you know, factor in that you need to stay in touch. If you have a change in your availability level, discuss it with your VA and come up with a plan. You know, for example, if you're going to be spending every day at the pool and you know there's a sensitive, hot, time-limited project in her way, arrange that you can both temporarily allow texting during the hours of 11 and 4 or whatever hours suit you. So just so she's not left hanging for an answer with a deadline looming. You wouldn't want that either. Again, the golden rule applies here, do unto others. And let's say if you're going to be away for 2 weeks on a trip, decide in advance how you'll both stay in touch. Number two, pay on time. This applies mostly to clients who pay by a monthly invoice. Your contractor is depending on your payment for her own expenses, so treat her with respect. If you can't pay, reduce the hours or reconsider whether or not you really need a VA right now. Now, ideally, your VA is helping you make more money with some of the tasks that she's doing for you because she's allowing you to have more time to get on the phone with clients, to create products, to do more marketing, or she's helping you to do those things. But definitely pay on time. And if for some reason it comes up that you can't, be in communication with her as soon as possible to let her know and allow her the opportunity to decide what to do about it. All right, number three. Communicate regularly, clearly, on time. Now, it's one of those things, you know, we set up the communication protocols, how you're going to communicate, how work's going to be delivered. Make sure you observe them. And you want to be in touch on a fairly regular basis. What I like to say is at least once a week, if you haven't heard something and you're in a regular ongoing relationship, you need to be either having a quick telephone call, scheduling some sort of email, or checking in to make sure that everything's okay. And then lastly, step number four, being a perfect, oh, I'm sorry, not, I guess it's not lastly, but number four, being a perfect client is to provide her with everything she needs to complete a project. That includes the information, how much time it takes, what the deadline is, ways to communicate with other team members, other parameters, login information, etc. If you want to provide her with hardware or software, remember, you can likely deduct it as a gift, so you can, you know, check in with your tax professional around that, but you want to just make sure that as you're delegating the work, she's got everything she needs to complete the project. And the reason here is not just because it's annoying for her to have to come back to you, but you don't really want to have your day interrupted with myriad questions either. Hey, I can't log into this. Where's the file? Where's the graphic? That's why having a tool like Dropbox, even better, Teamwork PM, where you can just attach all those things to a task and should assign it, it's going to be so much better for her. Number five, recommend her business. Just as your success is her success is also yours. So let people know you work with the best. Let her know you're proud to be working with her. Be generous in acknowledging her expertise and her value. If you've built up a great working relationship, and if she has especially contributed to your success, you will always be a super client at the top of her list. So if people ask you for recommendations, don't be one of those people that won't recommend your VA to someone else because you're afraid she's going to stop working with you. Don't be stingy. There's actually a really great episode of Friends where Rachel wants to go up for another job, and her current manager is on the hiring or interviewing panel for the next job, and the manager says all these terrible things about her in the interview, about her drinking on the job and being inappropriate with male coworkers because she doesn't want to lose her. That is not who you want to be. Refer your VA if you think that it's a good fit. I've done that many times with members of my team, and they're so much more loyal and grateful to work with me because they know I care about their success. Not just their success working with me, but in their total business. And then lastly, appreciate your VA. Above all, say thank you, especially when she's gone above and beyond or solved a difficult problem or simply just done a great job. Thanks and appreciation go a long way towards building a loyal, happy working relationship. Acknowledge birthdays, other special occasions. Just let her know that you're paying attention and that you care. If you take it a step further, you can find out how she best receives appreciation. I like the model provided by Dr. Gary Chapman in the 5 Love Languages. You can find out exactly how she best receives love. Is it words of affirmation, quality time, gifts, acts of service, or affection? And you can provide thanks in those ways so that you know she really can receive it. And that's our 6th step in our proven system. So as we close out our training for today, I just want to recap how hiring the right VA when you're ready can result in all sorts of benefits for you and your business. She can help you to streamline and document your business processes, complete projects with less hitches, save money and time, take care of overloads and emergencies. She can help with seasonal promotions by providing a second set of eyes on occasion, pointing out potential glitches you don't see because you're too familiar with it or for some other reason, and by being your voice if you don't deal well with interruptions or interpersonal relationships during work hours, by building your business, by freeing up your time on all those nitty-gritty tasks. If you familiarize yourself and practice the steps in this system, you will automatically never make any of the mistakes in step 6. Expect to find a fabulous VA or a VA team and run your business efficiently, cost-effectively, and with a maximum return on all your investments, just like a true professional. Thank you so much for being here with me today for how to hire and work with a virtual assistant. I can't wait to hear all about your successes as you go through the steps in the system and put them into place in your own business. Please do let me know how this is working for you and also how we might be able to support you even further. We've got some resources for you listed in our members-only website that you got access to when you joined our program, whether you invested in it or you got it as a bonus for investing in something else. And at any time, if you'd like to chat with me about how you can work with me privately or through one of our other programs to grow your business even bigger and take your skills to the next level, please don't hesitate to reach out to me at chatwithdeanna.com. Chatwithdeanna, that's DEANNA.com. I don't have as much time available every month to talk with everyone, but let me know a little bit about your business, and we'll see if we can't point you in the right direction. Until the next time, this is Deanna Mayo from DelegatedToDone.com wishing you your best day ever and loads of fantastic success in your business and in your life. Until the next time, take good care, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye for now.